If you've had enough jobs in your career, and Lord knows I certainly have, at some point you've worked for a boss who you thought every day was just plain nuts. Which leads us perfectly to Stanley Bing and his book, Crazy Bosses. Welcome to KMOX.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Hi there, Paul.
Before we talk about the book, how long ago was this actually published?
Well, I did this book 15 years ago. I wrote a book called Crazy Bosses, Spotting Them, Serving Them, Surviving Them. And it was an early attempt of mine to understand this phenomenon, which I noticed when I was much younger and just kind of it started in the corporate jungle, of how many people with power seem to be quite insane. And there are certain things I understood and got my arms around, but there was a lot that I didn't, including what you can do about these things. I mean, in other words, all the strategies. People read the book. They liked it. They said, well, what do you do about the crazy boss? And I said, wow, that's a really good one. So after a long time of working for many, many crazy bosses and actually turning into one myself, I have decided that I have a ton of strategies. And I also, you know, as a book by a younger man, it was a little bit too sort of sociological and a lot of sort of thinking out loud kind of stuff. And
so you've turned this into a primer on how your employees can survive you.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and it would be smart of all of them to buy it, by the way, if any of them are listening.
Yeah.
It would be good to buy it. But yes, it's how to deal with me and people very much like me and honestly, people much worse than me.
You say in the book that in the last couple of decades, our senior managers have created a new hyperbolic form of crazy boss.
Yeah, you know, if you ever read the Stephen King book, The Stand, you know, it's about the super flu.
Yeah.
Well, this is sort of about the super crazy boss.
Okay, so how does that manifest itself in everyday life in the workplace?
Well, a lot of stress on the boss produces a lot of stress on employees. And each one of these types of bosses that I write about, the bully, the paranoid, the narcissist, the wimp, and ultimately the disaster hunter, all of these are very powerful and need intense management if employees are not to go completely stark raving mad under their power.
You include yourself in the narcissist category along with Donald Trump.
Well, you know, I think it's smart of me to include myself because then when people get mad at me and say, how can you call that guy, you know, a crazy boss or a wimp or a narcissist, I can say, hey, you know, I'm guilty as charged.
Yeah, if you're going to write about yourself, you have to put yourself in the narcissist category by definition, don't you?
Well, excellent point. Excellent point. I mean, I'm...
You could not be the wimp.
No, I'm not really a wimp. I don't have a lot of trouble. See, wimps have trouble making decisions. That's one thing. They call a lot of meetings. Well, I have OCD or whatever that thing is where you have like a very short attention span.
Yeah.
I have to get up and walk around. I have meeting narcolepsy. So I can't actually have a lot of meetings. It makes me want to hurt myself.
Oh, so. You actually sound like the kind of boss I want. I tried to have it put in my contract several years ago that all meetings had to be done standing up.
Well, there is a place where they do that, you know, but we can't mention it on the air. I mean, you know, if you know that the men's room is one of the great places where people do have meetings standing up, I guess, is my point.
No, but what I mean is I'll come into your office and we can have a meeting, but no one should sit down. Believe me, so much more will get accomplished if we don't sit down. Just tell me what you want and we'll be done.
You know what? I couldn't agree with you more, and yet the world is full of wimpy people.
Yeah.
And what happens is instead of having a decision where, you know, you and I have a chat, it's 30 seconds long, you say, let's do it this way, I say, that sounds good, and we both go away.
Or even if you say that doesn't sound good.
That doesn't sound good, and then we talk for 5 seconds more. I mean, I'm with you. I like that kind of thing. But I can't tell you how many times a day, particularly in certain fields like marketing, for instance, where they'll have, you know, meetings where they have that 3 hours, and then they bring in sandwiches, and pretty soon it's 2 o'clock, and you know, and my head hurts, and my neck feels. No, that's wimpy stuff.
Yeah.
So,
I see an easel or an overhead projector, I immediately get a migraine.
Well, I actually faint when I see PowerPoint. You know, I've once received a piece of advice from a friend of mine sitting next to me at a meeting where they dimmed the lights and had PowerPoint, and he said, "Listen, Gil, listen, Stanley, it's all right to sleep during the meeting, but just don't snore."
Uh-huh.
You know, and I was in fact snoring. It was very bad.
No, that's not good.
No. Now, so that's a wimpy environment. Now that person is different, however, than the most common and most painful form of crazy boss, which is the bully.
The bully. And by the way, in the book you give examples of bullies and you say that Bill Parcells fits the same category as Pol Pot.
Well, yeah. I mean, he doesn't actually kill anybody, though, so maybe that's unfair.
Yeah, the murderous ruler of Cambodia through the Khmer Rouge and the four-time... Was it four times he won a Super Bowl? Two or three, however many. The Super Bowl ring-wearing NFL coach. You put them in the same category.
In a way, yes, because let me tell you something. That guy has got, you know, have an entire team of people who are like 6'5", 340 pounds, scared in their boots.
True.
He has so much authority, and say, he's been known to yell. Another example, of course, is Bobby Knight. You know,
yeah.
He used to throw chairs, and Woody Hayes, who was the Ohio State coach. And I mean, in sports, there's a lot of bullies, a lot of yelling, a lot of, you know, and the military too. George Patton, remember, he once the World War II general. I think he like pistol whipped a soldier for being insufficiently soldierly. So there's a lot of bullying, and in politics, there's bullying, and more. Importantly, everybody's experience of bullies is kind of the same. You know, this feeling like, wait a minute, you know, I'm a grown person and I'm being yelled at.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that picture? So bullies need a lot of management, and there are you know, at the end of every one of the chapters in the book, there are what you can do about each of these. And the bully strategy is very complicated, but it is achievable, which is that you carefully, after building up a relationship with the bully of trust and loyalty, you begin to push back when you're bullied. You begin to be less effective. You begin to not give the bully the kind of love and affection and emotion that bully likes to have. And ultimately, the bully will start to moderate his or her behavior. But that's the hardest.
Well,
it's easier to manage a paranoid.
See, I know a bully who was one of my bosses many, many years ago, and he is the only person who I consider on this planet outside of people like Pol Pot or truly evil people, to be among the worst humans I've ever come across, so much so that one of my colleagues and I have a pact that when we hear that he is dead, we are both going to get a plane ticket, fly to wherever he is, and dance on his grave.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, and I tell this story in the book. A friend of mine who was a sports writer had a boss exactly like that, and he spent decades hating this individual because that person had, you know, bullies very often have great insight into just exactly the right button they can push to make you the most miserable. And this guy really had my friend down cold, and he would make fun of him and bully him and treat him horribly. And then after my friend left the newspaper he was at, he lost touch with the guy, but he always hated him. And then about 20 years later, the guy died. And I said to my friend, wow, well, you must feel, you know, sort of satisfied now the guy is gone, you know, because you always just wanted him to pass away. And my friend said, no, actually, I'm going to miss him. I mean, you know, having a hatred like that, it kind of fills a space in your life, and it lasts a lifetime. And I'm gonna miss having somebody to hate that
now. No, I won't feel that way. I'll be dancing a jig like Belushi in the last episode.
That's a lovely sentiment. That's such a sentimental story.
Thank you very much. I'm Paul Harris. Proud to have you along every afternoon from 2 to 6 here on KMOX. Talking with Stanley Bing, who has updated his book, Crazy Bosses. And he's written several books through the years, including one a few years ago called Sun Tzu Was a Sissy, which kind of tells us a little bit about what kind of boss you are, right?
Well, yeah, that was my book that was about the art of war. And, you know, Sun Tzu was a great Chinese philosopher and advisor to generals whose basic precept said that if you are very well prepared and very strategic in your approach, the great general wins without firing a shot. That's the idea. You don't, you know, you basically, the true highest form of victory is to win without fighting. And, you know, my general feeling about business is that, you know, I fight to get awake in the morning, for goodness sake. So, you know, I just don't understand that. So, and I decided, you know, as a very smart move to attack somebody who's been dead for several thousand years also. So.
Yeah, so the Sun Tzu estate never came after you?
They haven't yet, but please don't draw them on me. You know?
Okay.
I know you're a very powerful station, and I know you could actually reach that far.
Well, if the Tzu family is listening, you know, email me and I'll give you Stanley's address.
He's a boy named Sue.
Yeah. Oh, good. Attack him some more.
Now, I will say that my book before that was called Throwing the Elephant, Zen and the Art of Managing Up. And that's all about how a selfless, peaceful Zen philosophy very often is highly effective in managing big, gray, smelly beasts that are essentially the same crazy bosses we've been talking about.
Okay. Does being a crazy boss become contagious to other managers?
Well, that's a terrific question. Yes, the answer is that certain organizations, of course, are actually all organizations have their own forms of insanity. You know, some places like advertising agencies are a kind of a mixture, for instance, of high energy activity, lots of deadlines, lots of people, you know, throwing themselves out of windows if they don't get the account, and then also at the same time an incredibly wimpy, decision averse culture where people, no one wants to be blamed for doing the wrong thing. Now, that's enough to make anybody crazy, both bosses and employees alike. The other thing is that there are a lot of people, many people, who are both employees and bosses. In other words, they boss other people that are underneath them, and they themselves, most people, have a boss, no matter how high up they are.
Right. And do those crazy bosses, whether they're middle managers or somewhere in that pyramid where there's somebody above them, mm-hmm. do they only get to continue being crazy as long as they're successful?
Yes, I think success certainly inoculates you against all kinds of bad things that you can do. Success is how we define ourselves in this culture. So nobody really cares that a Woody Hayes is a bully as long as the team is winning. Mm-hmm. They really don't care about that. When the team starts losing, then all of a sudden you get a lot of people attacking that person. There's a great example of that. A guy that I'm going to say is not use his name, but he was a huge super agent out in California. And, you know, you could never read anything bad about that person. He was absolutely at the top of his game. Everyone was afraid of him. You never had nobody called him on whatever, you know, crazy bossing he was doing. The minute that he had business trouble, although the Furies descended on him, and you couldn't read a good thing about him for about 2 years. So, you know, people really are inoculated against being busted by being successful.
All right. The ultimate boss in this country, I suppose, would be President of the United States.
Yeah.
Have we had any who would qualify as crazy since Richard Nixon? I mean, he'd pretty much be our generation's crazy boss, wouldn't he?
Well, yeah, but I think we have quite a few after that. We have quite a few before that, and we have quite a few after that. I mean,
we have one now?
I believe we have one now, and I think his predecessor was qualified too. I mean, you know, Bill Clinton. So I want to be an equal opportunity crazy boss caller here. I mean, Bill Clinton had a lot on the ball, a lot of good things going on in terms of, you know, his vision of things and how smart he was, but. So then he had to have that extra intern? I mean, what was that all about? You know? I mean, why does a person have to do that? Why do people, you know, do these things that kind of bring themselves down? It's very interesting. That's why my last chapter is called Disaster Hunter. And as for our current president, I mean, look at some of the symptoms. I mean, you have a person who's really not comfortable with anyone disagreeing, who doesn't listen very much to information that doesn't fit with his view of the way things should go. In fact, resents it when people raise information that goes against him. And when there's some evidence that he should consider a course change, is incapable of doing it, is too rigid to change his course. So all of those things will lead to an evaluation of our current president by history that'll be, I think, different than what he would have liked.
Yeah, probably. That's that legacy they're always looking for and never really turns out the way they want it to. So they fit into the five different categories that Stanley writes about here in the book. And by the way, speaking of the book, in all of the years of decisions that you have made, would among the worst be having an endorsement on the back cover from Don Imus?
I really can't comment on that except to say that, like many authors, I certainly went on the air with Don, and I was not aware at the time that there would ever be any controversy about that. I can join also several presidents of the United States and most best-selling
authors. Yeah, no, I just think it's funny. Here's one from the Wall Street Journal, Time Magazine, the New York Post, Dallas Morning News, USA Today. But the one in the box with the highlight and the biggest font is Don Imus. All right, well, that's how it goes.
What can I say? It's a crazy world.
And the next one should say Paul Harris. I think we've made that clear here today.
Can we do that? Give me a blurb and I'll use it.
You know what? As soon as I'm fired for saying something wrong on the radio, you can use my blurb, whatever it may be.
Well, okay. That's a deal then.
Thank you. Stanley Bing, the book is Crazy Bosses. Thanks for your time today.
That's a pleasure.
It's the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.